We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming in Sean Lash of the Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine. Sean, good afternoon. Happy June.
Yeah, happy June to you guys, too.
Welcome in here to the brand new month and all kinds of things happening up in the skies, including our first launch on American soil in, a decade or so?
Yeah, this is the first time since July of 2011 that we had a successful space launch of humans up to the International Space Station. So, of course, the Dragon launched on Saturday and made its way up to the International Space Station. Liftoff was very successful, of course. It was one of those things that originally had been scheduled for the 27th, but was scrubbed due to some weather in the Cape. But on Saturday, it was perfect, and they were able to launch. And then Sunday morning, of course, it docked with the International Space Station around 10:16 in the morning and met by Chris Cassidy from Maine.
Yeah.
Was able to greet the two new crew members.
And I thought it was interesting, too, watching social media. And, of course, and I'm old enough that I grew up watching the Gemini and the Apollo program in the 1960s and 70s. But I forget that, you know, it's been the 9 years since a launch. And then in those late days of the space shuttle program, you know, to be honest, people just weren't as interested as they'd been in the past. But I thought it was great to see so many people excited to watch that launch last weekend.
Yeah, I think it hopefully reinvigorated folks into thinking about sending humans into space from U.S. soil. I mean, we've been hitching a ride with the Russians, since 2011, and we wanted to, you know, be able to send astronauts directly. And what's interesting, too, is this is a brand new vehicle, which is only the fifth vehicle designed, in the U.S. to launch astronauts. So you had Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and the space shuttle, and now this Dragon crew. It is, like I say, the fifth new one, and it's a very modern vehicle. You know, by the time the shuttle launched, given the time it had taken to build and everything, it was sort of antiquated by the time it actually launched, compared to when you look at, the Dragon capsule, where it's all touchscreen driven, a very sleek design, and again, is able to carry, I think up to 7, if I remember correctly, astronauts into orbit. So it's going to be pretty impressive, and everything went flawlessly, and so now we have to wait for a while to see if the reentry passes muster, and then the craft will be certified for future flights.
And so, what does this mean for American space exploration going forward?
Well, hopefully it means that, we'll be able to send astronauts direct, and we won't have to hitch a ride with others. We can still choose to do so. And I do think there's some value to, international cooperation. But this does allow us to send people directly. And there has been talk about, returning to the moon. And more than likely, that would be something we'd want to do, with our own spacecraft. So this, provides opportunities to do that, as well as going to the International Space Station and being able to bring folks to and from it.
We were talking on the show last week that NASA's administrator has given at least the early approval, thumbs up, to Tom Cruise and a crew to make a movie on the International Space Station, that as long as they can get up there, they're free to use that. How close are we to having civilians in space like that?
Well, I mean, we have had, there have been some civilians in the past who went up with the Russians. They actually sort of sold seats, if you will. You have to be in, an uber wealthy person to do it, because the cost is really high. But that's the other nice thing about having this be a commercial spacecraft, is that, they've been able to figure out ways to do it a little bit more economically. And they've designed a really slick system. The rockets are reusable, land vertically on a pad. And so they're, I mean, I do think it will make things more possible to, send people in the future. And, the goal has been for some time to eventually get to a point where we might be able to have space tourists. But I do think that's a little ways off yet.
Let's talk about some of the things you're doing at Amera Astronomy Center, including the virtual astronomy experience. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, you know, the planetarium, of course, is still closed due to all the COVID-19 fun. But we do want to be able to reach out and do some things. And I created a number of virtual astronomy experiences, if you will. And these are basically online programs that I can do for school groups like K-12 school groups, so we can do for summer camps, or private groups like scouts, or, you know, if someone wanted to do it as a birthday party, for instance. But I have a number of topics set up, and basically I could join a class either via Zoom or Google Hangouts or Skype or WebEx, whatever they're using, and basically, you know, present to a class. And so I have a number of different options. We have one called Maine's Wondrous Night Sky, which, you know, is basically a live tour of the night sky using some software that we can use for that. And then we have Legends and Lore. So there's a storytelling one, Planet Parade, Solar System Exploration, which looks at all the planets. I'm doing one next week, Tuesday, called The Mysterious Moon and Me, which looks at the moon and why it goes through phases and some of that. So, again, these are a variety of different programs on different topics in astronomy that I can present to folks. And, and that's important for the planetarium, too, because we are, basically we have to earn our operational revenue through tickets and through groups. So this allows us to do something, and it's, you know, it's lower cost. It's $50 for a group. But again, it does allow us to try to do some things. And we're going to be doing a bunch of those presentations with the Challenger Learning Center, because Challenger has some online summer camps coming up in July. And we're going to be presenting with them too.
That's wonderful. And you've also created an online astronomy club. What does SLOOH stand for?
Ah, yes, SLOO. So SLOO is one of these things. It is basically they're online telescopes. And one of the things that we want to do with that is that we're basically going to be doing encouraging people to join our club. And that club will allow you to remotely control basically a number of telescopes. There are five telescopes in the Canary Islands and three in Chile. So you get an entire view of both hemispheres of the sky, something we can't do here in Maine. But you can actually take images. It's very simple to do and allows students to get involved and general public to get involved. There's gamification, so you can earn points and you can go on quests to learn more. So it's really a fun way for people to look at the night sky and observe the sky using a bunch of telescopes. And the nice thing, too, is these telescopes, they have about 15 hours of time daily on the sky. So, people can really, you know, you don't have to wait until really late at night necessarily.
Now, also this weekend, another asteroid headed our way. Frankly, the way things are going, Sean, I can go either way on this. I might take the hit, but it looks like this will be another somewhat near miss within 5 million miles away, maybe?
Yeah. We every once in a while we do have these close approaches. Like I said, there's about 8,000 of these things, what we call NEOs or near-Earth objects. And this one, will zip on by and miss us by quite some distance. We start to get a little more nervous when they pass, let's say in between the Earth and the Moon, as it happened on occasion. And if they're a mile or larger, then they're considered to be very dangerous, because, again, that could really wipe things out. I know lately with some of the things going on in the news, sometimes we feel like, well, maybe that would be a good way. But, still hoping that, society can get back on track here. One other thing I did want to mention, folks, that is kind of important, is that tonight is the last chance to see the ISS for a while. We've had a bunch of good passes this past week.
Yeah, sure have.
In fact, actually, on Saturday night, you could have seen the Dragon craft trailing behind ISS. And we had a bunch of stuff up on our virtual sky lecture last week about that. But tonight is the last chance to see it until around the 28th of this month. So if you want to see the space station tonight, that pass is going to start around 9:05 in the evening and finish at 9:09, and it'll move from sort of the west southwest to the south southwest. So it's going to sort of passed over a lower section. It's not going to get that high above the horizon, only about 15 degrees above the horizon. But again, last chance to see it for a while here in Maine.
Excellent. We'll keep our eyes peeled tonight. Well, Sean, we thank you as always. Appreciate the update on things, and we'll check in with you again in the month of July.
Sounds great. Keep looking up.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Sean Latch, Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine.